from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on a football Monday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Bills did fall in their first preseason game to the Chicago Bears, 33-6. They're now going to be in Pittsburgh, though, for the week as they get ready to do joint practices with the Steelers before playing them on a Saturday night at Acrisure Stadium. Saturday night preseason game. What are we doing? Why?
When would you prefer it?
1 o'clock or noon on Saturday, if not on a Tuesday behind closed doors. That'd be perfect, Josh. That'd be perfect. I would love it if it was like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon and at six, Sal comes onto the station and goes, all right, boys, here's what we saw. It'd be great. That would be my ideal preseason, is I watch none of it. It's essentially a controlled scrimmage, and yeah.
I wonder how hard that would be for Sal, or for anybody for that matter, of like having to come on and essentially describe an entire game that no one saw but you. Like,
oh yeah, that could be fun. That could be interesting. I want to get Sal's thoughts on this.
Could you imagine being the one guy or girl,
the reporter pool.
Yeah, I guess, because it's not just Sal at these games, obviously. There's all these reporters. But imagine they just let in two reporters, and those two reporters have to describe the game to everyone.
Literally, they're going to do the press pool. They're going to let two reporters in. They'll be like, now you got to describe it to everybody else. Have fun.
And you have to do it in...
literally the press pool.
25 minutes, you got to
describe
the
whole game. Didn't they do that in 2021 or something like that?
I think that was just for the press pool. They didn't actually end up having preseason in 2020. I don't think they did that in 21. That's how I want it, though. I want closed-door scrimmages for the preseason at, like, 1 in the afternoon on a weekday. That's the ideal preseason time. You know what the least ideal preseason time is, Josh? Honestly, it's weekday at 7 o'clock. But the second worst is...
8 o'clock on a Saturday, which was Arizona and New Orleans?
Is that who they played?
Maybe. Arizona played somebody at 8 o'clock.
Well, I mean, that's Arizona.
And it was...
Yeah, I guess... You're right.
Saints. I guess it is 8 o'clock our time. It'd probably be what?
4 o'clock theirs.
It's not terrible.
It's not awesome.
It's not great.
No.
I just... Well, Jeremy and Joe were bringing up, too, why is there no Monday night football game tonight? Like a Monday night preseason game. Rather than splitting it up over all these different days...
Yeah.
Bring one of them over to do the Cardinals-Saints game at Monday night tonight. I mean, you basically did it at the same time you would, but on Saturday. You know? Why not just bring it into Monday? Screw it. In the preseason,
no, you know what? No,
but
no.
Every single day has a game.
Oh, ew.
In
no.
the preseason.
Ew, no.
Why
it's
not?
The preseason. All of them should be Saturday at 1 o'clock your time.
Wait a second. How many teams? There's 32 teams divided by 7 days. I'm trying to think if you could have like an even amount per day. But that's four.
No.
If you divide 32 by 4 or 32 by 7, it's 4.5.
The ideal preseason, I'm telling you, Josh.
Here we
it
go.
It is on a Wednesday at like 2 in the afternoon, and it's behind closed doors.
What if they played overnight?
Oh, my goodness. And it's like the NFL free agency from years ago.
But it's closed.
But that's the thing. It's like NFL free agency from years ago where like just like stuff's being dropped at like midnight.
Yeah, or at like 3 in the morning, all of a sudden Josh Allen throws a touchdown pass and Orchard Park erupts at 3 in the morning.
That's not behind closed doors, though.
Fair.
No fans. Press only.
All right.
And
closed,
the team there.
Closed doors, but every time the Bills get a third down, you still have the train whistle.
People in Orchard Park. Just, I don't know where the train whistle goes off. It's like, oh, all right. Okay.
We're doing all right. Maybe. We'll see what happens.
They have the
I guarantee you
the
Bills
touchdowns.
Fans would stay up if a game was at 3 o'clock in the morning.
They have people like tailgate. They have their fires going off. They see the fireworks go off. It means a touchdown, the third down whistle.
This is like,
now
this is like,
now,
this
now
is like when
we're
they select
fun.
A new pope. You're going to have to look for like
yes!
different color smoke in the sky.
Yeah. Now we're talking. You see how none of this, though, involves a preseason game at Saturday at 7 o'clock at night? It's the worst. You know what's second worst, though? Saturday at 1 o'clock when college football begins the following
Ooh,
weekend.
Yeah.
No, I'm not thrilled about that. Not thrilled about that at all.
I don't. How much does the NFL think about the preseason schedule? Like, is it an afterthought? Because
no.
schedule itself is so much.
I don't think it's an afterthought. I think it is just like, let's make sure everyone's like playing when they need to. They're going to mix teams to have night games compared to the afternoon games because everyone kind of has to do this. The Bills are not the only team having a night game. We just mentioned that Arizona themselves had to have, what, a 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock game. So, mm-hmm. like, they get it. And there's other games, don't get me wrong. But, man, some of these, because it's the preseason. They're exhibition games.
Yeah.
They're not even doing them in different countries. Like soccer, they have their preseason tours. We're going to be in the United States for like 2 weeks.
Or even in college football. Well, I guess it's not preseason, but they play the one
week
game in
zero.
Ireland.
Yeah. Week zero, yeah.
Yeah. They play the game in Ireland, and it's like, oh, that's awesome.
The NFL's
that's
like, really no, good. You're still going to play at all your stadiums at relatively the same times you would play regular season games.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, it's,
as punishment for what? I didn't do anything wrong, I don't think. But it feels like a punishment. It is for something I did or we did. As a society, I'm just not a fan of night preseason games. Not at all.
I do like, though, because think about when the Bills usually play preseason or usually play night games. It's like later in the year when it's cold. Like going out on a summer night when it's like warm.
Oh, don't get me wrong. The aesthetic is wonderful.
And your shorts, like you're just hanging out. You don't have to have 18 layers on.
Yeah, the aesthetic's fantastic.
Yeah.
Until Josh Allen's pulled after a series, and now we're on to Shane Bouchel and Mitch Trubisky, and none of this counts at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's when the aesthetic goes from, like, this is really cool, to, you want to leave at halftime?
When is the first Bills night game this year?
Week 2, Thursday Night Football in Miami.
At Miami. So.
I think it's...
Not
home great. Would be the next one then, right? It would be week 3.
Oh, that's true. Thursday night. Yeah, that's right. We were just talking about this, like how the schedule is set up and how it's nice that the Bills have like this bit of a staggered schedule at first. And then even after the Thursday night game against Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
you go to Baltimore for Sunday Night Football.
That's good.
The next week.
That's like, good.
You have 3 primetime games in a row, which is fantastic. And then... You have another one on Monday night, 2 weeks later.
Jacksonville's a weird primetime game, though.
Yeah.
At home, Monday Night Football. You know what? And this is going to sound very disrespectful. I don't mean it to. But like Jacksonville feels like the last team that should have a primetime game. Like they feel like Thursday Night Football only.
There's a few teams I would put ahead of them that I would not want to see in primetime.
Well, I know. Well, year to year, sure, that list changes.
Oh,
and kind of
you're
fluctuates.
Saying
I'm
overall.
Saying like legitimately the Jacksonville Jaguars Thursday night only.
Not the Saints?
No, for much of my life, the Saints, like, that's Sunday Night Football, Monday
True.
Night Football. Like, and there are other people I would understand, like, if you grew up in the 70s and 80s or even the 90s, you're like, it's the Aints, baby. Like, that team belongs nowhere in the NFL. But, like, for me, like, the Jaguars, really much of the AFC South, Thursday Night Football special. That's what it is. That's the AFC South.
Bad
outside of, like,
football
the Colts.
Where you eventually get something great.
With their mustard jerseys that they used to wear.
Color rush jerseys on Thursday Night Football. That was a time to be alive.
I will say, though, the old Jaguars logo they're bringing back this year, fantastic. The leaping jaguar.
The Leaping Jack. Yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it looks good. And it takes me back to, like, the early 2000s.
Kyle tweets in, there's a 10 p.m. preseason game this upcoming Saturday, Cowboys versus Raiders. I don't want to be at a bar with my friends watching Aiden O'Connell versus Trey Lance at 11 p.m. See, that's where you're wrong, Kyle. That's what's going to get me to that game.
Because we're watching the demise of the Dallas Cowboys, aren't we?
I don't know. Well, because Jerry Jones then went out with the media again and was basically like, we actually do miss CeeDee Lamb. Like, I think he's trying to pull back some
of his
comments.
Too late, pal. You burned the bridge. You have.
See, I don't know if
you
burned the bridge.
You lit the bridge on fire and soaked it in kerosene beforehand.
I don't think so. They're going to end up paying him. I think it's going to be uncomfortable to get there. But, like, here, look at the Brandon Ayuk situation. He's a San Francisco 49er. Sure, he hasn't been paid yet. He's going to be. All the hoopla that he's going to get traded to Pittsburgh or Cleveland, New England, done. I think he's going to get paid, stay a Cowboy. And they'll move on, and this will be a thing that like they like joke about in the offseason. It was like, yeah, remember that? Yeah, a little upset. And then we're fine.
And then until...
The only problem with that Cowboys-Raiders game is at 10 p.m. That's quality television right there. You telling me Aiden O'Connell versus number 19 Trey Lance?
He's wearing 19.
I watched a little bit of that Rams game. Little bit. Because I genuinely want to see Trey Lance. I was a big fan of his coming out of North Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he threw a total of like 7 footballs since he was 16. I understand. Being facetious there, but I get it. He does not look great, man. Number 19 aside, I think a lot of us missed on Trey Lance. He does not look prepared at all. I get his ankle injury in year 2 definitely did not help him in his development, but he looks just as raw as he did as a rookie. It does not look good at all. And then as well, we are supposed to find out who the Raiders quarterback is at some point this week, I believe. Or it's at least relatively soon.
So it's Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell,
and that's it. It's those two.
Oh, it's just those two.
It's those two.
I didn't know if there
was a third guy, I think, that's on the roster, but it's those two.
I didn't know if there was someone there like lurking, just,
no,
like, waiting or something.
No.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Raiders, though, they feel like a team that, like, if Dak Prescott's not paid, they're going to go for him. I don't think they'll pay CeeDee Lamb. I'm questioning Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you feel about Micah Parsons?
I think they have to pay him, too.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, they have
to pay all three. They should pay all three, technically.
Weirdly enough, actually, like, you look at the three, edge rusher, wide receiver, quarterback, I think they will pay the edge rusher, the wide receiver. I think they are done with Dak.
I think it's time to move off Dak. I think they realize that, and I just...
But they're taking their time about it.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it is. I think they're taking their time to do it. I think it is an uncomfortable conversation to have. Dak Prescott's been their quarterback, their starting quarterback for a number of years here. He's let him do a few playoff games. He's let him do a few NFC East titles, what have you. He ultimately became a steal out of the fourth round out of Mississippi State. I mean, objectively, yeah. He has been. But he's on that fringe with guys like Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins and the other such that, like, the idea of paying them $60 million a year, it stresses you out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it also paying like a quarterback like a Mahomes, like an Allen, a Lamar Jackson, a Joe Burrow, you know, for the most part, that doesn't really stress you out. You know what you're getting. Injuries aside, you know when they're on the field, we're good. You don't get that with Tua. Even with Jared Goff, who got paid this year, and I somewhat agreed with it. Dak Prescott even as well. Like Dallas was the Miami Dolphins of the NFC. They couldn't beat 500 teams. They couldn't really play away from home. And then when they did get to the playoffs, it was a nightmare. It was a disaster. They are blown out by a young Green Bay team who kind of found their juice a little bit towards the end of the season. Dallas is in an uncomfortable spot that I think is going to wind up with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons being paid. Dak Prescott's the one that I am just not convinced gets paid.
Yeah.
I think they are ready to move on from him. But let's get Connect Door Fans brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We did so, of course, with Kyle, but on the original kind of, you know, thesis for today. Yes, it is the preseason, but what do you need to see in Game 2 to feel better? John tweets in, I need to see O-line blocking better one-on-one. I fully agree with the O-line point. Fully agree with that point.
Osiris Torrance had a bad day.
Yeah, he did.
Like,
yeah, he did.
I did not like what I saw. It looked like that whole right side. I mean, Spencer Brown had his moments where he was like, okay, but that whole right side looked weak. And I don't know how to feel about it because, again, we talked all about it in the first hour of the game plan and it's preseason. Mm-hmm. And
but
I wonder how to feel about that because he was so good last year.
Yeah. In terms of the PFF grades, Sneaky Joe tweeted this out earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. On the offensive side of things, at the top two, or actually, let's go with the top three, Curtis Samuel at 78.0. Cedric Van Pan Granger is number two at 75.6. Now, again, I mean, his usage and when he was actually deployed, you know, we're into the third quarter.
Yeah, but still.
But that's a good sign to see, especially when kind of the prevailing thought is that he, good chance, becomes the starting center soonish.
And then
I don't want to say next year,
McGovern
but
back.
But potentially,
left
guard. And then Khalil Shakir. Yeah. Well, I think so, yeah. And then Shakir 73 flat.
I think that's fair because talking on him, on Van Pran Granger, I was really excited when they drafted him because it's a center out of Georgia, which I feel like that's a pretty good spot to draft offensive and defensive linemen. I mean, we've seen a lot of defensive linemen come out of there recently, you know, notably, I think Jalen Carter, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're. Obviously, Georgia's known for all of their great players, but I feel like their offensive and defensive lines are a little underrated. But if he kind of becomes the starter as the season goes on and you can move Connor McGovern back to left guard, I think that's a big-time win.
Yep.
Because Connor McGovern and Deion Dawkins on that left side last year locked it down. They had no problems whatsoever over there. And for the most part, Osiris Torrance was fine on the right side too. Do you think that relied at all on Mitch Morse? How much did he play into a rookie lineman coming in and looking good in Osiris Torrance last year?
I mean, it definitely helped. It is concerning, though. His PFF grade was 41.4. But I will tell you, it seemed like the whole offensive line did not play well. Like, Van Pan Granger's grade, if you want... kind of surprised me.
Maybe it's a little inflated.
And I this is partially on me. I should go back and watch the game and kind of see and get a closer look at him. But for me, it felt like the entire offensive line did not play well. And while Osiris Torrance kind of has the lowest grade of the entire O-line, I think all of them need to play better. I think as well, you're getting a new center that probably is not helping in that sense. McGovern and Allen have been pretty open about, you know, getting into a rhythm together, different sort of snaps and what have you. So I think that is a thing. But I think this also goes into the original point of they didn't really go with much of a game plan. You know, there wasn't like this like in-depth pass protection calls and stuff like that. I think this is more just go to your guys on one-on-one. And this is where I think to John's point as well is a good point of they need to block better one-on-one. It's just just at the line of scrimmage being better compared to what they were on Saturday. And you'll probably get a good taste of that on next Saturday. with we'll see how much TJ Watt and the like play for the Steelers. I imagine we'll at least get a little bit of a go from their starters. I think game three is going to be more where they shut down everybody.
Yeah, and that's kind of you're just like seeing who can make the roster, seeing who can perform the best.
Yep.
I wonder if you'll see stuff from maybe like Keon Coleman still in the third game. Just
you could.
Just because. Like, why not? I mean, he didn't get too much yesterday. Or, sorry, Saturday.
It's going to take some time, I get it.
It throws me off, I'm sorry. But I feel like he might be the one guy that kind of stands out as he's going to play game three.
He's still going. That's partially because he's a rookie. I'm happy they were at least trying stuff in the red zone with him, especially because that seems to be where his bread and butter is going to be, is the 50-50 ball guy, the red zone guy. I did agree with Sneaky Joe's point today. Maybe not necessarily on like the T. Higgins exactly being the 50-50 reception guy, but that's where Keon Coleman long-term scares me a little bit on the Bills, is that he doesn't really have that trait that I guess that you would be convinced will last a long time. Like Stephon Diggs, while I think he's lost a step, I think he'll be able to play though a very serviceable level until he's like 34, because he's a technician, he's a route runner. You know, he doesn't rely on incredible speed or incredible strength to get open or to beat guys one-on-one. We're typically 50-50 ball guys, oftentimes are just bigger, stronger, a little bit faster than these guys. And Coleman, to his credit though, you know, D1 basketball prospect, along with being a Division I football prospect, he's got those abilities. But in terms of getting a second contract, being potentially number one guy, or developing into that role, I don't really see it. And that is why I'm getting more excited for a guy like Khalil Shakir, who, while yes, is in year three, he seems to have much more of a more potential to develop into that number one role, because of the route running ability. Both of their hands are great. I mean, that's been Keon Coleman's like big grade A thing out of camp, or at least out of the first part of camp. I mean, Brandon Bean outright said it with Jeremy and Joe, which is like he'd get an A+ for his hands up to this point. But Shakir's got those. He is, I would say, faster. He's not Cole Beasley, where he's 5'8". He's like 6 foot, 6'1". And he's already become, I would say, especially by the end of last season, a very, very reliable target for Allen. Very reliable. And you saw, again, in a limited role in which the starters played a total of 2 drives, 3 for 3. And that is where I feel confident in his ability to potentially be a 100-plus catch guy. And TJ tweeted into me, too, because I said it. You know, Cole Beasley's highest as a Bill was 82. I think Shakir smashes that. And he said, that's a lot of receptions, especially if the game plan is for everyone to eat. And my response is simply to that of, it's everyone eats until the same guy is getting open. And everything out of camp has been him and Kincaid getting opened every play. They are constantly, constantly, constantly getting open. And while I like what tight ends are developing into, I think there is a bit of a tight end renaissance. There's a reason why there's only been 11 total seasons of 100 receptions for a tight end, in which Travis Kelce, I think, owns 3 of them. Just doesn't happen that often. I think it can. I mean, we talked with Greg Thompson at Cover One. Like he said, even with Kincaid, or even with Diggs on the roster, Kincaid was on pace over like the final, like what, 13 games, including the playoffs, to be a 113 target guy. So you're thinking, all right, get to 120, 125, might be a 100 reception guy. I just, again, because he's a tight end, I don't totally know. Now, Shakir, going to have to do a little bit more work. Last year was his best year out of two. He had 45 targets, 39 catches. I mean, he essentially caught everything thrown his way, about as much as you could. His target percentage would have to skyrocket, because I don't think it's going to be something where like he has 120 targets and he has 100 and like 12 catches.
Let's say you, I don't want to say double his targets because that's only 90, but 1.5 times his targets. So, you know, 45 times 1.5 is...
You're looking at like 75.
Math is hard.
But I mean, you're looking at like 70 to 75 targets.
I'm saying get it higher than 90, because I think it's going to be like 100, 110.
Like it has to be. But that is such a big jump. And that's where I can understand like kind of the fear of it, of just, you know, man, is his target share going to go up that much? And especially to the listener's point, to TJ's point, like, you know, in an offense that everyone eats, like, are we sure about that? But you look at Shakir last year with Davis and Diggs on the team after a poor camp, just flat out, nothing in the Jets game, and one target in every game for the next five before he pops off and goes 4-6-4-2 in the Denver game, not great, but then 4-5. One in the Kansas City game, one in the Dallas game, then 3-4-6, and then the playoffs, 3 targets, and then 9.
Yeah, and how much is how obviously, like you said, he started off training camp rough. How
didn't even
much,
start training camp off. It was the entire thing was not good.
Yeah, but how much of the newfound trust came from the – there was one game you listed there where
– the Tampa game, he went 6-for-6 for 92 yards. Yeah. That was his first big game.
I think that's like – that's where that trust starts to form.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the kind of – that also is where you see the shift in the season where Diggs starts getting less targets and other players as a committee start getting more. Davis yep. is completely irrelevant at that point in terms of targets and receptions. Diggs is still there, but you see a lot from Shakir, Kincaid, and even Cook.
Yep.
So I think that's kind of where you see the shift. And since then, it's been his offense, basically.
At least in the passing game.
Yeah. And I think that if he somehow duplicates those numbers and just takes the targets and the receptions increases them, but keeps the catch percentage the same way. I mean, I don't care that you don't have a number one wide receiver. That's your number one wide receiver.
And that's my thing is I'm the longer this offseason has gone on and then just the quick look from him in preseason game number one, he feels like he's going to be the number one target for the Buffalo Bills.
If you have a wide receiver that has 86% catch percentage with with 126 targets or something like that, let's just throw a number out there.
Mm-hmm.
126 targets. Sure. Yeah. If you have a guy that catches 86% of that, he's going to be your number one. I know mm-hmm. I was talking about in the first hour where, you know, if he just becomes Cole Beasley, where he's kind of a fly under the radar guy, but gets you a lot of yardage and you look at his stats and go, whoa, he had good numbers. Where was he all season? He was right there the whole time. You just didn't see him because you had X, Y, and Z in front of him.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. How do you feel about Khalil Shakir heading into the season? Are you kind of with me and Josh here? I personally, I'm hedging my bets. I think he's going to have over 100 catches. I can't wait for this season. Or a little bit more leery, especially with ultimately what his target share was last year. I mean, under 50 targets, under 40 catches could be very interesting season for him going forward. Again, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here until noon. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.